Thank you for that update. Pray for the pulpit committee, for the candidate, as he will be coming to you in the time that God has set aside and appointed. And God will use this time wisely. And you're ready for a pastor. Amen? I'll try that again. You're ready for a pastor. Amen? One more time. Are you ready for a pastor? Praise the Lord, you finally woke up. Praise the Lord for you. I've enjoyed my time here, but I want you to know that my prayer has always been God would bring the right man here and his family. And, of course, we are looking for someone who's at about 40 years old and has had 30 years of experience in the ministry, working with teenagers for over 25 years. And wife can do everything with the ladies and so forth. So that's what we've been praying for. Pardon my grammar. That ain't going to happen, just what I said there, because that's not possible. But God is going to bring the right one here. And I praise God for the one that God has selected this time to be the candidate for the ministry here. Please take your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. I want to speak this morning about five keys to spiritual victory, as I find in this chapter. It's the story of Jehoshaphat as his land is invaded. Now keep in mind that the kingdom of Israel has been divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And if you're a Yankee here today, I got news for you. In the northern kingdom, there was not one good king. But in the southern kingdom, there were several good kings, and the south will rise again, and one of them was Jehoshaphat, a fine man of God that really did a tremendous job. He made his errors, his mistakes, his sins, but basically the man was one of the most wonderful kings of Israel, as the southern kingdom called Judah. And as we look at here, look with me in verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude. Now underline that thought, a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And then we're going to find here that how he handled the situation. By the way, Israel has always been outnumbered. That's why God has permitted that, to show forth his power and his marvelous working as we look here at this phase. Father, I pray as we look at these five principles that God would speak to our heart, because even as Jehoshaphat was facing the obstacles of life, many in this congregation are doing the same. Pray that you'll receive the victory in Christ's name. Amen. Now, when I'm talking about five keys, obviously here he was faced with a physical enemy. Sometimes a physical enemy is much easier to defeat than a spiritual enemy or emotional enemy, such as discouragement or depression or anger or bitterness. Those are hard things to deal with, but they are our enemies. And I want you to know there are five principles in this text I hope will be a help with. The first one is to pray the prayer that will change your focus. You need to pray the prayer that will change your focus. I enjoy my prayer life. I don't know how to word this, but as the older I get, Marilyn has noticed it more and more. I'm losing my ability to remember things, even with things that were done a minute ago or a few seconds ago. And she is constantly reminding me of these things to help me out. I can turn the car on and drive it someplace, forget to turn the engine off. I can leave the doors unlocked. I can, on and on goes the list. And I'm even finding it here in the pulpit. I don't know what God is doing, but that's just the way it is with me. But one thing I know, in my prayer life, God gives me the ability in my spirit to remember so many people to pray for. I've been able to spend a good almost an hour and a half in the mornings in prayer and praying. And many I pray for you here. Brother Arlen, I pray for you and your sweet wife as you're going through this time. And I pray for the deacons, the pulpit committee, and pray for many. And God has given me the ability to remember their names in my prayer time. And I thank God for that. So as long as I have that, and number two, I don't forget who Marilyn is, I'll be okay. The doctor said, you may be getting dementia, and I wanted to say to him, you probably already have it, to the doctor. But look with me at these five principles this morning. First, to pray the prayer that will change your focus. I want you to underline or highlight three words here in verse 3 and 4 and 5 here. Look at the word. Would you underline them? As you know, I do a lot of alliteration. I'm glad my King James Bible decided to do that here. Underline the word set, S-E-T, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to, second word, seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And here's the third, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. So look at those three words, if you will. Set, if you have the idea there, he had set, he made a decision. That's the idea of the word set. And he set himself. He made a decision. We're surrounded by enemies, but I have someone that can defeat the enemies. And so he made a decision there, and I thought about that. He noticed here, to seek the Lord. That's the second word. Folks, someone said it well, and he said, expect trouble from below, this world below, but victory from this world above. I like that. Expect to have troubles from below in this world, but able to experience victory in the world above. If you don't spend, here's what he did. This is the key. He goes to God in prayer, because if you don't spend time in the world above, you'll never be able to defeat your enemies in the world here below. I understand that. I understand that. Your answer to your problems is not a psychiatrist or a counselor, although I'm not against counselors. But I have found, first and foremost, if you don't go to the world above, you will not be able to handle and have victory in the world below in troubles that you're going to have. You will not be able to defeat those enemies. And I notice here, again, that word set. And then notice the word seek. Look with me, mark this verse here, this reference. And I often turn to it, and it's highlighted in my Bible. And that is in Isaiah 55. Would you just take a moment, if you have your Bible with you, and look there at verse 6 and down to verse 9 here this morning. Look there. There's a condition in this verse. He said, seek the Lord, what? While he may be found. Now, what's that mean? If you don't go to the world above, if you don't seek him above, you will lose victory in your life. You will be out of fellowship with God. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. There's a condition here. And call up him while he is near. No greater thought. I thank God for the nearness that we can have with God through prayer. Then he said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens, there's his world, are higher than the earth, our world, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, let's read that as well. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, this is may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So is my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. Oh, he went to God and he met with God, and how important that is. And so we see he not only set, that is, he made a decision here. He made a decision, but he also seeked that here. He made a discovery. He made a discovery. He's going to discover something. Listen, every time I go to prayer, I discover something. What do I discover? I discover the greatness of God and I littleness of myself. And to think you can go to God and you can seek Him and realize that God is there and they're able to help us. To ask help of the Lord. He sees this. He seeks the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now, mark that word fast. I've preached a message before. But it is good for us to learn to fast. Not to eat fast. Not to go to fast food. But spend some time and miss a meal in a time where we just let God cleanse our thoughts and ourselves. And amen. Have you ever fasted? I hope you have. I hope it's a tremendous truth there. Notice the third word. Notice as he prays there, and notice here in verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask of the help of the Lord. Even of all the city of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. But look at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house before the new court. Notice not only do we see that word set as the word, in other words, he came to make a decision, and that word seek, which he made a discovery that God is the answer to his problems. And but he saw the word stood here, and it has the idea here of having a determination. Israel is not going to... Listen, folks, Israel said, we're not going to live in defeat. Are you ready for this? We don't have to live in defeat. We can make that determination when we're confronted with whether it be COVID-19, whether it be Washington, D.C., whether it be the governors of our states, or whether it be fill in the blank. We don't have to be living in defeat. We can live a victorious Christian life. And I thank the Lord for the truth of that. And so we see here, look there as you go down here to verse 6, going down, and notice what he said here. And he's praying now. This is a prayer he prayed. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, are not thou God in heaven? And rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? He went to the very God who could defend him and help him get through this time. And so he goes to God here and he realizes God will defend him and his country. I have a great defender who wants to defend me, but I need to go to him. Notice secondly, if you'd go down to verse 9, here's another thought. As he deals with that, look there, and there are two words I want you to note in verse 9, because in verse 9 we see here he not only wants to defend us, but he will deliver us. Look at verse 9. And when evil cometh upon us, as he's praying, and as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stood before thy house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and crying to thee in affliction, that thou wilt get these two words, hear and what? Hear and help. I want you to think about those words because it's so key. He hears and he helps. That's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God that I thank the Lord for. So he stood there and he prayed and he prayed, Lord, we need your help. Then notice something else as he not only talks about you are our defender there in verse 6 and you're able to deliver us in verse 9, but verse 12, and I have been in verse 12 many a times in my life. I want you to observe this. Oh, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. But I like these words. This has been me many a time. Neither know we what to do. Look at that. We need direction. We need direction. You know why you prayed for the pulpit committee? You know why the pulpit committee? We needed direction. You can't have the pastor to come here unless God gives us a direction. And they said, we know not what to do. We know not what to do. I've been there more times in my life where I've said, Lord, I don't know what to do. But you do. You do. So he realized in verse 6 that one who could deliver, that one who could certainly defend them, and verse 9 that one who could deliver them, and now the one who can give them direct. Lord, we need some directions. And no matter what, that's the key, one of the first key to victory, is those thoughts there, to pray the prayer that will change our focus. But notice secondly, not only to pray the prayer that will change your focus. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. Far too many of God's people, when they're in trouble, prayer becomes the last resort when it ought to be the first resource. They'll wait until everything else looks like it's going to, oh, we'll just go to prayer now. Excuse me, folks. Pardon me listening in there today on our line here today. That's your first resource, not your last resort. Think with me secondly. Not only to pray the prayer that will change your focus, but to receive the power that will correct your feelings. Now get this, folks. You will either live in the shallowness of your feelings or the depth of your faith. Which one's for you? Now watch your feelings. Watch your feelings. I got up this morning and I wanted to get up, but guess what? This body at 5:30 wanted to stay in bed. So I said, get up. I'm getting up. I hope you come with me. You know, my body decided to come with me. I thought that was good, because I knew I had to spend some time with God and get ready and spend some time with God and feed the cats outside, feed the cats inside. Don't want to get into all that. But anyway, we have those issues, things we got to do, and just spend some time with God getting ready. Listen to me, folks. You can either live in the shallowness of your feelings, or you can live in the strength of your faith. Which is it this morning? You know, there are a lot of people that aren't in church this morning. You know why they're not there? It's the COVID-19, I think maybe be many of them, but not most of them. Feelings. 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 Don't do that. Tell your body you're going to do what's right. It will try to run your life and your feelings. Notice there, if you will, look at verse 14. Drop down here to verse 14. Notice here, because I want you to notice the promise that God gives us here in verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of names I can't even pronounce, Mattaniah, a Levi, the son of Asaph, came what? The Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one that God has promised will lead us. Now, I don't pray to the Holy Spirit. By the way, be careful in your prayer life. You pray to the Father. Are you listening to me? Now, I hear people now and then, they pray to the Spirit or they pray to Jesus. I pray to the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Christ. Now, if you happen to do it wrong, I still believe he hears you, okay? So don't get upset because I tried to correct you biblically today. Just pray. But I want you to know to receive the power, the promise that God has for you. I'm reminded of Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. That's a wonderful verse. Oh, man, thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that we have. And the very first thing, in order to get that power, you got to deal with the promise. He gives you a promise here. You can defeat the enemies of your life. I will do it through you. Notice not only his presence there as well. Look there with me as you deal there. Look here, and we find in hearken and the Spirit in the midst of the where? In the midst of the what? That's the congregation. You know, I want to say this dogmatically. I want the Spirit of God to rule this congregation, to overrule this congregation, to rule in this congregation, to accomplish its will. But that will come about as we simply desire the presence of God. Are you thankful for the presence of God? I can sense it this morning. Now, I have to be honest with you. There are times I didn't sense the presence of God here. Now, so, preacher, you get right with God. You say, no, no, no. I was right with God when I had not felt the presence of God. You know why? Because of some people may hear. I don't know who you are. Maybe fighting the will of God about the pastor. You need a pastor. And folks, we need to just go on in this church and go forward and let God do His work. Amen? Amen? Get rid of this old man up here. He can't even remember things anymore anyway. But I still remember who Marilyn is. Isn't she pretty? Excuse me. I want to say that again. Isn't my wife pretty? I love you, honey. Just embarrassed you. And I'll pay for that later. But notice here, as he goes down here, look with me in verse 15. Because we see not only the promise of that Holy Spirit, the presence of God in there, and the congregation. The congregation. Listen, folks, there are no big shots in the family of God. We all have the same Holy Spirit living within us. We all have that privilege of His presence of God in our lives today. And then notice, then you get God's power here. Look there, if you will, again in verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye not, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the king Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord to you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Get these words. Get them, folks. "Make for the battle is what? It's God's." Isn't that good? That ought to make you Baptist-costical. That ought to excite your heart. You mean, how am I going to fight my enemies, whatever they may be? That's God's business. He'll fight the battle. And He wins every time. Notice here, he said, "Be not afraid." Would you take a moment and turn to a very familiar verse in the book of 2 Timothy. Just real quick, turn there. Look at chapter 1. I was meditating on this thought this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. "For God had not what? Given us a spirit of fear." Notice he said over there, back into our passage, "Be not afraid nor dismayed." Now he says, in that text, and then he said, "Be not..." God had not given a spirit of fear, but of three things: of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now stop and think that one through for just a moment. He gives us that power of the Holy Spirit today. And we have that wonderful power to conquer the enemies. That love and that sound mind. You know, depression will remove a sound mind. You know what worry is? Worry is not having a sound mind. You know what jealousy is? You know what bitterness is? It's not having a sound mind. They're all enemies. But I thank God that He can give us. He will deliver us in by my Spirit. He'll take care of it. I thank the Lord for that and rejoice in Him. Now think with me thirdly. Not only do we see here a prayer to pray the prayer that will change your focus, receive the power that will correct your feelings. Don't rely on your feelings, but know the person who can cast out those fears. I just had the passage there in 2 Timothy 1, 7, right? God not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and of a sound mind. Think of those three for a moment. We have the power of God to challenge every fear. We have the power of God to challenge every fear that comes in my life. I have the power of God to challenge. I only have the power of God to challenge it. I have the love of God to conquer it, to see it conquered, and I have the sound mind to cast it out. To say, "Move on. You will not take my mind over, and you have, I'm moving you out. You're getting out. For there's no room for fear." when you're controlled by God. So to know the person, go back to our passage there in chapter 20 and verse 16, verse 18. Would you note those with me, please? And look there and think with me those verses. 16 to 20. He says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come out by the cliff of Zion. You shall find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Like this. Would you highlight verse 17? You'll not, by the way, you'll just need not to fight in this battle. You're going to face an army, but you don't need to fight. You'll not need to fight. Set yourselves, stand still, and what? See the salvation of the Lord. You know, several hundred years before this passage was written in Exodus chapter 14, verse 3, God told Moses the same thing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just let me fight the battle. You're going to see miracles. God's going to do it. And then I want you to notice here, as he did that, God just did a wonderful thing here. And verse 18 again, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and fell before the Lord and worshipped him. Who worshipped who? Him. Him. Quit worshipping your fears. Quit worshipping your depression. Quit worshipping your discouragement. Quit worshipping your jealousy, your bitterness. Those are things that captivate him. Don't worship. Then the more they're in control of our thought life, the more we're worshiping. You're bowing down before him. I tell you what, it's good to bow before the Lord. Amen? And so we see him to know the person who can cast out your fear. Now, I've had a lot of people come to me for counseling, and I got news for them. I can't solve any of their problems, but he can. Him. 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 The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He can do it, and that's the person who can defeat the enemy. And that's, you'll get victory when you realize that. You'll get victory when you realize that. Listen, are you glad you're saved today? Who saved you? Who saved you? Him! 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 The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost saved you. I got news for you. The same God who saved you spiritually can save the circumstances of your life. He can do it. Same God. Same person. Why? We don't. Listen. Hallelujah. That's a great victory. And so we see here to know the person. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians there, be remembered, that I may what? 3 verse 10, that I may what? Know who? Him. Know him. I believe God allows all these things to come into our life so that we get to know him. Right, Arlen? Mrs. Mills, that's why God's permitted it. He wanted us all to know him better through your problems. Hallelujah for that. You know, because we're a congregation. Remember, he appeared before the congregation, the Holy Spirit. Now think with me, not only here, how to have victory, to pray the prayer that can change your focus. Not only to receive the power that will correct your feelings. Not only to know the person who can cast out your fears. To offer praise that will conquer your foes. Now verse 21 does not make any sense. Just doesn't make any sense. Excuse me, folks, I'm not condemning the Bible. It's God's word and I believe it. Saw the sign on the back car said, God said it, I believe it, that's settled. That's not true. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Amen? But when you look at verse 21, that doesn't make sense to me. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the Lord, beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. Get verse 22. And for 23, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now look at verse 23. For the children of Ammon and Moses stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. You know what they did? They turned on one another. Wow, there's not Israel battling them. What are they doing? They're singing. That does not make sense humanly. I have found most of the things, the miracles of God, none of the miracles of God. Somebody said, if you can explain a miracle, it's not from God. You can't explain this. As they're singing, here's the army of Israel behind them, and the singers are going out before, get the singers before the soldiers. They're singing. And the enemy is being defeated, the enemy. Can anybody here explain that? I don't think so. See, God's miracles are not explainable. God's workings are not explainable. God's ways are past finding out. They're not explainable. And so the way to victory is to know the person, to offer the praise that will conquer your foe. Now listen to me. Praise will resurrect your beliefs. Just resurrect them. Sometimes our beliefs kind of die. Do you understand what I mean by that? They just sort of lay there all like they're dead. But we begin to praise God. God will resurrect those beliefs and put something into them and excited about it. But praise will do that. I think I've told the story more than once here, but I'm old, and so I'll tell it again. When we were going through our lawsuit, you remember that story? But in Charleston, when our church had cost $100,000 just to get all through that mess, I was so discouraged. That was my foe. I'm driving down the freeway with tears coming down my cheeks. Lord, what are we doing here? Why have you allowed this? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and he said, you know what your problem is, Stephen? You're not praising me enough. And I said, I'm not praising you at all. You're close to God. You can talk that way a little bit. And the Spirit of God said, praise me. This is the truth. I said, I don't feel like it. Feelings. Either you live in the shallowness of your feeling or in the strength of your faith. And so he said, praise me. So I said, well, praise the Lord. I felt so excited. I did it again. I got so excited in the car. You heard that story. Remember that? I raised my hands up in the air, put my knees, the guard, I'm on the freeway now. Don't you do that with that car you got. You hear me? Did you ever do that? Give that car to me first. The guy next to me in his car went, that man's sick. Oh, for the first time in some time, I've been resurrected. I went back to the church and I said, folks, we're going to win this battle because God is going to fight this battle and we're not going to do anything but let God do it. And hallelujah, we won the battle. Won the battle. God won the battle. We didn't. Are you listening to me? Because we begin to praise God for who he is and for what he can do. And then I think of the fifth one, not only to pray the prayer that will change your focus, to receive the power that will correct your feelings, though the person who can cast out your fears, to offer praise that will conquer your foes. But number five, rely on the promises that will challenge your faith. Rely on the promises. Look at verse 22 here. And when they began to sing and to praise, I've already read this, and set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Mount Seir, and I've read that so forth. But I just wanted just to say quietly here, God had already promised them he would defeat their enemy. And that's just how it happened. they come to fight Israel and they're turning on each other. Sound like Washington, D.C., doesn't it? And the promises are so wonderful. And not only did they see the promise of that, but the promise of God's working there. Look again in verse 23, 24. Look at the last words of verse 20. Everyone helped to destroy another. No way would that army of the enemy plan on doing that. But God did it. God did it. And then I noticed not only here the promise of His Word, we fulfilled what God said He would do there in verse 15 and 17. If you back up some, look at it. He not only gave them there the promise here of His workings, God worked it out. But I want you to notice the wealth. Oh, are you ready for this? You're looking here at a multi-billionaire standing up here. And I'm looking to the same down there. We have all the riches we can in Christ Jesus. And they're available. If you go here and you look here, and these were, although these were, verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people began to take away the spoils of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and the dead bodies and the precious jewels. They found all kinds of things. Now those were riches that God gave them, but I got news for you. We are rich today. We have something that you can't buy. It's salvation. We have something you can't buy. The promises of God. We are wealthy people today. Why don't we live like it? Lord, help us today. As we looked at these five, I hope today you'll take a look at your prayer life. Whatever changes, pray the prayer. That will change your focus. Receive the power that will correct your feelings, the power from heaven. I ask you today to know that person more intimately. Paul said that I may know him. That's future tense. Every day you get to know him a little more. That's what Christian life is all about. Offer the prayer. Are you thankful? I got into my wife's golf cart. She lets me ride it now and then. I bought that for her because she has a hard time walking on the property we have there. So got her that golf cart. And I got on the other day, it just hit my head. I mean, I was starting to bleed a little bit. My first reaction, I wanted to kick the tires. How many have ever been there? I just said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm learning to do that, honey. Instead of kick the tires. Praise the Lord. God's teaching me lessons. And then rely on the promises that will challenge your faith. Rely on the promise that will challenge your faith. Hallelujah for that. Father,